This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you're a duck or whether you're a beaver, your fantasy team needs a new receiver. It's Danny and Dusty at lunchtime every day. Maybe you're a tortured fan of Rip City. Danny and Dusty are here to take pity, hoping there's not a center with bad knees on the way. Talking noon till 3, Danny and Dusty on the fan. Yep, I'm singing again, cause they haven't said I can't. Danny and Dusty love the teams the rest of us revile. Raising a Blazers banner would make it all worthwhile. Noon till 3.
An Odyssey station.
Our number 2, Danny and Dusty here on the fan. Thanks for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours, whether it's on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, twitch.tv/1080AM the fan, or youtube.tv/1080AM the fan. Party on, party people. You're maybe also listening on the Odyssey app, and right now is the time to enter for the Slam Dunk in Vegas contest. Time is running out. Entering is easy. Just download the free Odyssey app, log in to 1080thefan. Or any of the participating stations. Listen each day for a minimum of 1 hour for your daily entry. The winner of this national contest gets travel for 4, a 5-night stay at the Circa Resort and Casino, Las Vegas's premium sports viewing destination, and home for the biggest March hoops party at the Stadium Swim. Plus, each of the 4 in your travel party will get $5,000 to fund the ultimate viewing experience for the first 2 rounds of the college basketball championships. Contest ends Sunday, so keep listening each day for at least 1 hour. For more info, go to 1080thefan.com. News, you heard it in old Jeff Russ. There's update. Luka Doncic out for the Los Angeles Lakers tonight as they come to Portland to take on the Blazers. It does appear, though, LeBron will be playing.
He's been bullied into playing.
But wasn't that whole thing an unverified report to begin with of LeBron maybe missing the first 2 games?
I think they floated it out there to see if they could get away from it or get away with it.
Oh, well, it's not working. He played really well last night.
And remember, Luka Doncic, minutes restriction's gone. And now one plays one game after the All-Star break. And, you know what? Can't play.
One game, not very good.
No.
So he gone for tonight's game in Moda Center. If you were looking for the new look Lakers, look elsewhere. They will not be.
Well, no, they'll be new look. They won't have Anthony Davis or Luka Doncic.
Yeah, that is true.
So look at this. True. Neither team wins the trade.
Dude, the Blazers can't win this game.
I mean, they can.
They can't. We can't.
I mean, this Lakers team just lost to the Charlotte Hornets, shooting 36% from the field.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. I seen it. It's bad. It's real bad.
All because Austin Reeves got tossed out of a game for using the F-bomb.
Yeah. All right. Well, Austin Reeves, you'll be fresh.
Keep your Southern manners, Austin Reeves.
Well, yeah. Don't say you either. You know? You can say the F-bomb, just don't say you.
LeBron,
anytime you say you to an official.
Oh, yeah, your ears are going to perk up. Also, LeBron said in the postgame afterwards that he was indeed hit for the first tech for using it. He said he didn't say it again after that.
Okay. About LeBron. Mm. In his locker. Have you seen his locker?
I have not looked closely, no.
So they did the postgame. He was sitting in his locker.
Were multiple books open to the second page?
No.
No.
It was a full-on array. It looked like a end cap of a Target. It was all of the shop hair products, lotions, everything were stacked behind.
He was rubbing the beard lotion into his beard during the interview.
It's like, buddy, there's no way that you are using all of those hair products. And if you are, I don't
get
know
your money back.
If your hair is the best sales pitch.
Are we
for people.
Are we sure it wasn't beard products?
I don't know.
Because look, up top, it's gone.
There was
the beard is.
If you
strong.
Go back and you look, I was like, what is that? There's about I'll be conservative here and I'll say 8 different products that were prominently placed, label facing out. He's not a businessman. He's a businessman. And he is killing it with that product placement right there because it was on every show this morning. They knew that LeBron's locker was going to be in it. He's hawking his shop products.
I mean, yeah, he's definitely getting. Look, if there's a marketing opportunity out there for LeBron James, he's going to get it. He's one of the best pitch men of all time.
He's a billionaire, dude.
Yeah.
He's a billionaire. Yeah, that was jarring to me. I didn't really realize the setup that he had going behind him. But it's all the orange bottles. You'll see him. That's all his shop products. Mm-hmm. And there's probably, and I'm saying 8. 8 different products. And then he has all of the other
it's
things.
Like Michael Jordan hawking hair products. It's like, no.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Come on. What are we doing?
Is there an older player in NBA history that has had a good amount of lettuce?
An older player with great hair?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can look at Robin Lopez. Robin Lopez.
A great older player.
Detlef Schrempf.
Great older player.
Detlef Schrempf.
Great older players are just hard.
That's what I'm saying.
Robert Parrish.
Ooh, he did. There you go. It is a good one.
Dwayne Schinces.
Yeah. Because like most people, when you get in your late 30s as a man, the hairline typically starts to go.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about it, like Chris Paul.
KD.
KD. Oh, KD's is good.
Steph.
You know what? Good call.
Steph.
Steph's still good.
Yeah. Steph has got good hair.
Dwayne Wade was shaved. Jordan was shaved.
Yeah.
Melo kept his very tight. But Melo.
Yeah, Melo. Melo up there. Well, he had braids, so yeah Melo.
Melo was up there. I'm trying to think of any like. There's just not a lot of older players. It's just that it happens.
Yeah,
Larry Bird.
Larry's up there.
We're just naming guys now. I can do that. Let's do this.
With good heads of hair.
Well, I mean, just go.
Dwayne Schinces.
Go Larry down Bird. The top 10.
Come on,
Jordan, Braun, Magic. I mean,
you're talking great players. Well, Magic. Magic did.
He towards the end, he shaved it. Barkley shaved it.
Mm-hmm. Patrick Ewing, he had a flat top, dude.
Tight flat top. That's a great one.
Yeah. Patrick Ewing
did. Hakeem shaved it at the end.
David Robinson.
Duncan, his was going at the end.
No. He grew his hair out once he got done playing, and now he has amazing hair.
You're right. He has the dreads now.
Yeah.
It shaved. That's what it was.
Kenny Skywalker probably didn't stick around long enough. But he had a good flat top, too.
You really are hurting me with this. They have to be a great player.
that's what I mean. Like it really...
I don't know.
Basically, everyone's had the shaved head.
You're going to start just seeing older players, and they're going to
post... Buck Williams.
They're going to post on Instagram, like, headed to Turkey for vacation. Then you don't see him for a couple of weeks, and you're like, oh, I know what you did. You got that Turkish hair implants, pal. You can't trick a trickster.
Eric McCollum.
Yeah, that's right.
Turkey or wherever.
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a hard game to play.
Because I mean, if you're talking like cornrows, Iverson, but he didn't get that old.
Well, Pippen
started to lose his at the end.
How old was AI? AI was like what, 37 in his final year.
No, he didn't play that long. He was too broken.
Really?
Yeah, he was physically too old, or physically too broken.
Physically too old.
Yeah,
huh?
That's what I meant.
AI's final year in the NBA, he was 34. Well, yeah. Whoa.
Yeah, no.
That's and early. Even
then, yeah, well, it's because he was broken, man. Like, the very end, it was bad.
Hot damn. Wow.
But yeah, like, just going through, like, the top 15 players, like, Kobe got rid of his. I mean, we go way back. Bill Russell had his fro late into his career.
Yeah.
I think Steph is the answer. Dr. J. Ooh, that's a good one. But I think Steph is the answer.
Steph? All right. And then Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan, because of what he did
post-career. Yeah.
And it was like, you have that? Why didn't you have that earlier? Amazing.
I never understand how players, on the flip side of this, I mean, I understand why players shave their heads. Like, I never, like, Elfrid Payton, when he had that big, stupid thing in the front, or guys like Rob Williams, plays with those huge, heavy locks. I'm like, that has got to be tough.
See, Elfrid Payton reminded me of that dangler, the anglerfish.
The
danglerfish. Yes. Like, it was just like, I was like, how does he do that?
Sticking about the top. Yeah, but what I don't understand about, like, the Bob Williams and some other guys is those braids coming down
Dirk's hair went back.
Those braids coming down under the headband, like, still hanging in your face.
Yeah.
Like, you got that headband keeping those in your face.
Dirk had good hair. Dirk had good hair late in his career.
Dirk had big teeth, too.
Well, no.
Yeah.
Dirk, Chompers. If you remember, had the LeBron where the headband went up a lot higher at the end.
I don't remember that.
Yes. Dirk's headband went up a lot higher at the end. But Dirk is probably on the list, but he was definitely starting to.
Well, power alleys don't count.
Sure.
Power alleys is a good. I'm looking at the end of his career.
Yeah.
That's still a good head of hair. I think 10 out of 10 are going to take the head of hair that Dirk had at the end of his career.
But I'm talking great lettuce. It's just not there.
Well, yeah, people get older. Hey. I mean, old guys with great lettuce are hard to find.
Hey, look, man, I'm right here.
I said, great lettuce.
Whoa. Are you kidding me?
Danny.
The lettuce that I had a month ago was fantastic.
Danny, your wife told you to cut it.
It's because she hated it, but it was still great hair. she hates long hair. I am 40 and I have my hairline is in the same spot.
You have a lot of hair.
Yes.
You have a lot of hair.
There you go.
That's different than great hair.
Whoa.
Well, it is.
Whoa.
You have a lot of hair.
Whoa, we got a snort. I have great hair.
I'm sorry.
How dare you? It's
a lot of hair.
It's a lot of hair.
It was all over the place at the end.
Look, I have a lot of hair all over my body, too. Now, does that mean it's great hair?
Now, what you've done with your hair since you got it trimmed up on the sides and you got a haircut... You got gray hair now.
Yeah.
Well, you got gray hair now.
I got gray hair to work with.
But you were like a month ago. I was like, buddy, I don't know if we were looking at the same hair. It was everywhere.
I was expecting to find you underneath the I-405 overpass as I drove
now,
in.
Now that's a cheap shot. Now that's the cheap shot.
Oh, is that too far?
Yeah.
I will say, when I got it cut, was it 3 weeks ago?
It looks good now.
Well, the amount of white hair that was on the floor.
Oh, yeah.
Screw both of you guys.
Yeah.
For not letting me know that it was that white.
No, don't worry about it.
Good Lord.
Don't worry about it.
It was like a skunk
line. F you. You're cool.
And
F you, I'm out of here.
I was like, why did nobody tell me he was that white in the back?
That's what I told my wife when I first found my bald spot.
Oh,
like, why didn't you tell me I looked this ridiculous? Like, I can't see the back of this head. You can.
Dude, silver fox in it.
Oh, there was so... like, and it's not even, like, silver. It was just translucent.
Man, all right.
It was bad.
Okay.
I was like, come on, man.
Great hair. I don't know where that went. Don't know how it got there, but we got there.
You're welcome.
Let's get to college football.
LeBron's locker or something.
Yeah, it was the shop. That's the shop. My bad on that. Let's get to the big change in college football that's happening. Ohio State, Texas, USC, and Nebraska. Pivoting next on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
New trend in college football is taking over. Over the last 24 hours, Texas and USC have joined the growing contingent of teams that are not going to be playing a traditional spring game coming up. Nebraska and Matt Rhule were the first ones to kind of jump on this. And Matt Rhule, I love Matt Rhule for this. He will just go out and just say it. Like, he just says it like it is. He's like, yeah, we're not going to have a spring game because what happens when we have a spring showcase is it gets put on TV, everybody watches it, opposing coaches watch it, and then all of a sudden, we've got all of our backups, some of our starters, getting pillaged in the transfer portal and tampered with. So we're not going to put up with it anymore. How do we avoid it? We're just not going to have a spring game. Take that. And now Texas and USC are doing the same. Today, Steve Sarkisian told Kay Adams on the Up and Adams show, no, we're not going to have a spring game. College football is changing right now, and we need to do a great job as coaches of adapting. Oh, okay.
Hmm.
Basically, they just are done with the tampering because there is a portal window that opens up after spring ball. And after pecking orders are set, guys will leave. Do you think this is going to stop any of that tampering that happens, though, just because they're not playing their spring game and putting it on TV?
I mean, here's your case in point. Nick Saban going on TV on that draft board and talking about trying to get Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo. Do you think?
But that was because of what he did during the season. It was because of his spring game.
But I'm saying, like, the idea that of, like, what you can go see and get and understand. There's nothing to stop you from doing that. If you want to go,
no,
quote unquote, tamper with a freshman or a sophomore that you think is going to pop based on a spring game, I mean, go with God. But the idea that this is somehow going to stop that, this is the Bill Belichick, Chip Kelly era of protectionism, treating stuff like nuclear secrets that I just kind of roll my eyes out of, like, for the love of God, guys, just roll them out there and go. This isn't changing anything.
Yeah, and I think what they are doing is they're masking what the real truth behind it is, that the value of a spring game really isn't what it used to be. Because you get your evaluation times, and what teams usually do is they have a bunch of, like, for those that don't know what spring ball is, it is a time for to develop your backups, to see what your young players have, and to find contributors that are going to emerge. Starters, you usually get off-season surgery, and you're not ready for spring ball. Like, you have guys that will sit out spring because of a lingering injury or a nagging injury, or guys maybe even be healthy scratches for spring games. Like, that's been spring football games for decades. Like, you wouldn't go out and play everybody unless your entire roster really had something to prove, or you had, you know, a new quarterback coming in, and so you wanted to have your receivers out there to see in just any valuable time that you could get with timing-wise. Maybe then you play your starters a lot. But for the most part, where the real evaluation happens in spring games is in the scrimmages that are leading up to the actual event, right? Because a lot of the guys, there's guys that just won't play in the spring game because you'd want to keep them away from contact and don't, you've already know what you got in a lot of the guys. They have nothing to prove. Hold them back. It's all for the young players and the development. Now, if you're trying to protect the depth on your roster, sure, I guess don't put it on TV, but I don't,
you've talked specifically about like the mixed groups, like the offensive line with Oregon this past spring game.
Yep.
You're like, guys,
they don't roll their starters out there.
It's okay if the offensive line doesn't look fantastic because you've got two starters out there for a couple of snaps and then you're kind of mixing and matching guys. And same thing, like particularly like whole position groups, offensive line, defensive line, like where it's more than anything, those units work cohesively together and they build time together. Like you're not taking anything from that. You're looking more at the one-on-one matchups. You're just getting guys some reps, some experience. It's not this thing that you need to bang the drum on, like, did you see them at the spring game? It's like, yeah, if you're close to the program, whether you're covering it or around it, or you're in the game, like, I'm talking about like in the game, like working in college football, you know, everybody talks.
But then there's guys that pop, right? Like Kenyon Sadiq last year and for Oregon, like he looked really good in their spring game. Turned out really good player, right? And I think what a lot of the coaches are trying to do is to stop the pilfering of your roster from finding those guys who are going to be the next ones, right? Mm-hmm. And the value of the spring game, it's not nearly as important as people make it out to be. And so I think it might be important
in the sense of financially. I mean, bringing 40,000 people in the middle of spring, it's not nothing.
And usually those spring games are either free or like a canned food donation or they're really cheap tickets that you can get for it, right? Like it's not a huge moneymaker.
I was saying, like, at bare minimum. My point being, it's not like it's this huge thing for you.
And this is where I think that there is a world where it could happen that you could have, instead of a spring game, a controlled scrimmage against another team at some point. You bring in another team and you have a controlled scrimmage at some point. Because then it becomes a revenue generator. Then it is, you get more people that are interested in it. It'll be better for TV product. Mm-hmm. And if it becomes a revenue generator, then that's where spring games will probably circle back around. But there's so many teams out there, though, that, like, I know several programs across the country that the coaches are so paranoid right now because of guys in the transfer portal. You don't even have a depth chart. Doesn't exist during spring ball.
You're not putting it out at all.
No, not even internally. Like, it's just like you'll have these mixed groups because you just want to see guys compete against each other. Like, so you don't have a first, second, third group until you get into like the season. The coaches and the paranoia over the portal, we've seen Texas, USC, Nebraska. I think I saw Ohio State is pondering it too. Just going, no spring game. Florida State's not doing it because they're renovating their stadium this year. And they're just like, we'll just punt on it.
We're fine.
Whatever. But I think the portal, it has rattled so many cages with so many coaches that you're probably going to see a bunch of them go, we don't want to deal with it. The schools that don't have a ton of attrition through the portal and their retention is really high, I bet you're going to see them continue to have the spring game because they're like, we don't lose a lot of guys to the portal anyways. We're just going to keep doing what we do. Keep business as usual. But for the ones that have lost a lot of guys to the portal or are worried about their depth being pillaged through the portal after a coach watching your spring game on TV, they're probably going to do away with it and say, deuces. And USC, a lot of guys leaving through the portal this past year. Texas, a lot of turnover on their roster through the NFL. And now you're like, all right, we need to hold on to our depth. So, we're just not going to do it. I get it. Nebraska, Matt Rhule just said the quiet part out loud, what a lot of these guys are thinking, was like, this is exactly why we don't want to do it. So
it all feels a little Cold War-ish to me.
Welcome to college football.
Yeah, it's all very dumb. All right, coming up next. God, I'm going to do the whole lawsuit thing again. Are you a survivor of a plane crash that landed upside down? Maybe you shouldn't take the money. We'll get to that more on our Worst Day on the Web. But first, here's the Big Kuno's Sports Center update.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
It's time for today's Worst Day on the Web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Oh, really? That sucks.
I don't know how many of you have seen the video, the absolutely bat-ass crazy video that has come out of the Toronto plane crash, where a Delta airliner, as it's landing on what is a icy runway, it appears that the landing gear does not come down all the way. The pilot drops the wheels back and tries to belly it down and does successfully, quote unquote, land the plane.
Well, yeah, I was reading up on that, and they said that apparently there were 40-mile-an-hour winds on the runway.
Oh, crosswinds.
So all of a sudden, when you're coming down from like hundreds of feet mm-hmm. up, obviously it's stiffer wind up there. That it had more to do with the runway conditions in the wind in the right wing, apparently
wobbled,
dipped, hit the ground, and then that's what did it.
Oh, that's what caused the spin.
Yeah.
Well,
it's crazy.
It is insane. Like there's multiple angles of it. Like everybody apparently knew that this could possibly be an issue when they were landing because everybody was filming it.
Yeah, I was. It's all of these things, man. It is kind of it's sick and a little gross that people will just spread and spew whatever they want to when things like this happen, because like you had Delta and the Toronto airport, and they were coming out being like, look, these aren't like new pilots to flying in these conditions. Like the pilots flying in these conditions, like they train in them.
Yes.
These are their routes. They're familiar with them.
Not only that, most of these guys, look, for people that don't understand this, most of these pilots that are flying these aircraft are prior military that have mm-hmm. flown like KC-135s, KC-10s, C-5s, C-17s in the worst, most hostile environments. I mean, I'm not talking about the military war zone type stuff. I'm talking about in sandstorms, in ice storms, in nasty wind, transatlantic, transpacific. Like they have made flights across the world in the worst places imaginable to fly.
Yeah.
Like that's where these guys almost all come from.
But like yesterday, it was like going viral that the pilot had only gotten their pilot's license on January 6th, and they're flying a commercial airliner today. And it's mm-hmm. like, okay, first of all, they had to come out and they're like, look, the Transportation Safety Board of Canada was like, we haven't released anything yet.
Yeah.
Y'all don't know. It's like, I got a friend who knows a friend who've looked up this person. It's like, okay, just pump the brakes here. What we do know is that that plane rolled over
mm-hmm.
and that was bananas.
We almost never see that.
And nobody died.
Yeah.
And nobody died.
You had some pretty real injuries.
Yeah.
But everybody walked out.
There's still only, 80 people or 79 passengers on the plane. Mm-hmm. Three of them are in the hospital still. Mm-hmm. The most severe injury was a critical injury that is not life-threatening.
Yes.
That is incredible.
When you watch the video, that's insane.
It's absolutely bananas to think that with everything that was going on, like most of the people that went to the hospital and treated, I was reading that it was because of the inhalation of the fumes from the jet engine fuel mm-hmm. that was leaking out.
A little JP-8's always good for the soul.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
No? Okay.
I don't think it is.
But with all of this, Delta is offering $30,000 to each passenger on board the plane that flipped. Delta, their representatives are telling customers the gesture has no strings attached and does not affect rights.
All right. So what Delta is saying is, if you're on this plane, here's 30 grand.
Mm-hmm.
You can still sue us. Like that's the rights that mm-hmm. are attached. Like they're saying this isn't like
this
30,000 and
thing.
You don't yeah. sue us. It's 30 grand. We'll see you in court too. If I'm one of these people, like it sounds like a great deal, but I'm still talking to a lawyer before I take that $30,000.
Oh, 100%. Definitely talk to a lawyer. But remember, when they ask you to leave a flight and catch a different flight because the flight is full, they will offer sometimes $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 to leave a flight to take a later flight. So the idea of like, oh, that's a lot. It is a lot of money.
Dude, I want to get in on one of those $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000.
I had one. I got a 20. I got a, they basically do it like an auctioneer. They started a price and then they kind of work it up.
So who, like, why would it be that much though? Is like, where's that money coming from? And why is it so important for them to give you like $2,500 to bump your flight?
Because,
you know, is that person really important that you need to get there? Is it like a pilot that needs to get to their other destination? That's
typically what it is that there's air crew.
Like, we're going to be out way more money than this?
Yes. And they're like, it's way easier for us to spend $5,000 to get somebody on a different plane. I'm
looking to get on that.
Look, they got close one time. I got like $2,200 and somebody was like, I'll go. And yeah, I was like, dude, damn.
Sorry, kids. You're going to have to stay at home another night by yourself. I ain't coming home.
We got a mortgage payment, and I just got the mortgage paid.
This trip is free now.
Not a bad deal.
But $30,000.
Plus the right to sue?
Plus the right to sue. That's a good deal?
I mean,
I'd love to hear what a lawyer has to say about that. Because
I mean, the airline industry is not exactly doing well as it pertains to customer relationships, particularly Delta.
Yeah. And I would love to see kind of... All right, they're saying no strings attached. It does not affect rights and rights to sue. But there's got to be something there, right?
No, it's out of the goodness of their hearts, Dustin.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man. Isn't that bad? I'm like leery of this company just being like, we're going to give you $30,000. I'll be like, what?
Because they're hoping
be like, yeah,
that enough people will be like, all right, I'm not going to sue the bejesus out of you. I'll just sue the buh out of you.
Yeah, that's right. Just the buh. Oh, here's another good point. I assume it is, but in this situation, are you being gifted $30,000? That would be taxable income, correct? Yeah. Uh-huh. Are you being taxed in Canada, too?
Yeah, I would imagine, which is, I think, is like a 54% tax rate.
So you're not talking to like a... You have to have like a tax attorney that you're going to call on this one, too? Yeah, multiple tax bills here. Hot damn.
Interestingly enough, I just looked this up.
Okay.
In Canada, although Canada has no gift tax, in some cases, gift tax can trigger tax rules that increase your income taxes and prevent a win-win situation for both you and the recipient.
Oh, sweet.
So there is no gift tax in Canada.
Do it. Take it in Canada.
Huh.
All right.
That's a good
You go on a flight, it rolls over, and do you think that this may indicate whether or not like Delta's like, oh boy, this was a pilot error.
Was it at fault?
Yeah. And does
get out in front of it?
Yeah. What do you think your number is that you're landing on if you're on a plane that rolls over like that?
Well, if you're the critically injured guy?
And you are if you're just somebody that walked off that plane. And you're okay. Maybe you get a little bit of that vomiting, nauseous from the jet fuel.
I think you're probably talking on average, if again, there's no background, just kind of throwing it against the wall. I would imagine Delta's probably doing the math of anywhere between $100,000 and $150,000 a person.
That's probably, yeah, I was landing at, you're probably going to be $100,000 a person.
I think that's probably
for
what their lawyers are probably
for the people that are walking off that plane. And so they're like, you know what?
Those three people that were injured.
Yeah.
You're probably looking at $250 to $500.
So we're gonna hit, we're gonna get $33,000 a piece out of this thing, $30,000 a piece out of this thing in the first quarter, so it doesn't hurt our books in the back end in quarter four when we
No, I think it's 100% what you're talking about, and maybe
we're gonna ease this.
You're gonna save yourself a little bit of PR too.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, there you go.
Like that, I think that's a real factor in this stuff because the airline industry, man, I mean, we all know how fickle it is.
Yeah.
And how up and down it goes, like when you know, if it does turn out to be an at-risk situation, they absolutely, the $30,000 up front is worth it to them.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's absolutely worth it to them for the PR alone.
And then just knowing you're going to have like
$70,000
after that.
You're going to get smashed.
Yeah. If I got injured though, and if I'm one of the people like critical injury, non-life threatening. I think I'm at least $300,000. You're gonna have to go over a quarter milli for me.
And the medical bills are paid.
That goes without saying. You're paying
It's $250,000 in damages, $300,000 in damages, plus all medical expenses.
Yeah. All right. Glad we got that.
There you go. See, that's Danny and Dusty, the attorneys at law.
Do not take my legal advice at all.
I mean, take mine, but
ever.
It's never gonna help you.
Ever. Don't do it. Just don't take my legal advice.
My legal advice is get a lawyer.
Hells yeah.
Don't tell those cops anything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we should call Donnikin. You know?
There you go.
That's who you call in this situation. Bingo, we fixed it.
You know what? You know who else probably needs a lawyer?
Huh?
Bobby Portis.
Oh, boy.
It's not that hard. Don't take banned substances. We'll get to that and more here on Danny and Dusty, Tenny the Fan.
This doesn't get you excited for Four Nations. I don't know what will.
USA! 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 Woo! It's a banger.
Ray Charles? Hell yeah.
Always good. What's not always good is reading the freaking label. Because apparently that's an issue for Milwaukee forward Bobby Portis, who has been suspended for 25 games, i.e. the rest of the season, for the Milwaukee Bucks after testing positive for not Toradol, but Tramadol. Tramadol is like Toradol, used to treat pain. Mm-hmm. It is a moderate to heavy opiate that is not only banned by the NBA, it is banned by the World Anti-Doping Agency.
Uh-oh.
And the reason it is banned is because it's highly addictive nature.
Okay.
And
yeah.
So
opioid.
Yeah. It's one of those things that's out there, and this the following statement that comes out after every single one of these positive tests. Just say you're an idiot. Just say you're an idiot. People,
okay.
I think people would actually be willing to take that as an excuse of I screwed up,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to saying, and Mark Bartleson is his agent, issued a statement following that his client unintentionally took Tramadol, mistakenly thinking it was Toradol. The statement also read that he supports the league's anti-drug policy and adding that he is absolutely not a drug abuser.
Not a drug guy.
Yeah.
Not a drug guy. I don't do drugs.
I was dealing with an elbow injury and using an NBA-approved medication for pain and inflammation. During that time, I made an honest mistake and took a pain-reducing anti-inflammatory pill that is not approved. I feel horrible and recognize that I'm responsible for what I put in my body.
Uh-oh.
It's not that hard. It's really not that hard. The first time you take anything, because unless it is handed to you by a team freaking doctor, don't take it.
Yeah, that doesn't happen very often, though. I mean, it's crazy to think about, and with the amount of times that this happens, right? How many times have we heard, well, I got a supplement from, you know, a teammate or somebody that I trust and, you know, an associate. You said it was his reading. I think it is the associate's reading, his assistant, who does his bidding, apparently. Mm-hmm. He got the Tramadol from an assistant of his.
And Where did he get it from?
The assistant does not have good reading comprehension because their whole thing is, well, they thought Tramadol was Toradol. It's like, no. But it's on you as a professional athlete to know what you're putting in your body.
There's never anything that should go in your body as a professional athlete that if you have not run through your team. Ever. Yeah.
But it happens all the time.
And it's because people are dumb.
People would be shocked, though, how often in those locker room settings, it's like, hey, I'm killing you. Oh, I got some. Here you go.
Oh,
but,
sure.
But those are teammates within the locker room. Getting it from your assistant, because he's been treated for this elbow injury for a while. It's like, dude, what the hell were you thinking? Just taking it from somebody who is not associated with the team whatsoever, whether it's a trainer, doctor, teammate even. I mean, a teammate is even, don't want to do
dicey.
That.
That's dicey.
But at the same time, that happens way more than people think.
Here's the thing. As often as you say that this stuff happens,
mm-hmm.
Do you know how many times and how often drug tests happen in the NBA? In the NFL? In Major League Baseball? It is all the freaking time.
Oh, really? In the NBA, they still get tested all the time?
Oh,
because in the NFL, it's like you get tested.
That's the IQ test.
A couple
in the
times. Yeah. Like,
in the NBA. Look, I've told this story before. I was talking to Damian Lillard at practice one day. He was all of a sudden he got tagged. They were going to an event at Big Al's. The whole team had to leave. I'm just sitting there just shooting the S with Dame because he has to sit there and pound a gallon of water because the tester is waiting for him.
Yeah.
And he has to drink it and drink it and drink it. The next day, he plays the Houston Rockets, goes for 71. I'm waiting in the locker room. He comes in. And I go, what is going on, dude? And he goes, you wouldn't believe this bleep. And he points to his elbow. He just got blood tested.
Yeah,
the
dude.
Next day after scoring 71. He's laughing like, this is ridiculous. But like, Dame is a guy who puts a lot of stuff into his body.
No doubt.
And you know what he's never done? Popped positive for anything.
Because dumb. This is stupid.
It is part of the process. You are a professional. What goes into your body matters. It is like the number one thing that you are in charge of is how you work and how you treat your body.
Yeah.
The idea that this, like, the dumber part of this isn't even the painkiller stuff, because it's dumb. It's getting popped for steroids. PEDs. Number one, if you're going to do it, go spend the money and go overseas and have a freaking cocktail made. Go to Balco. Go to somewhere and quit buy the idiots that buy this stuff off the shelf in Mexico. It is just the dumbest possible world that is like, what did you think was going to happen?
Not good stuff.
It's such a simple thing, but it's such a huge, huge deal.
I love how upset you got over people buying their steroids and where they're getting them from.
Quit being dumb about it. Don't go online and buy the British Dragon stuff from Thailand.
I've heard Bobby Portis is a really good dude.
Yes.
Everyone loves Bobby. Great dude.
Except
but
for
that
Nicole
guy has been in the news for some of the dumbest stuff.
Far
possible.
Too often, including collapsing his teammate's face.
Yeah. Kind of started with that, and now here we are to mistakenly taking Tramadol because he thought it was Toradol from his assistant.
And I guarantee you, there is a difference between taking the Toradol and Tramadol. Because Toradol, you don't really feel the effects from. It relieves a little bit of pain.
No, it takes away all the pain.
You know what I'm saying? It takes away. I'm talking about like the mental acuity.
Yeah, I was reading like there was a ER doctor who was like, I don't even give Tramadol because it's like on the low end of the pain relievers. He goes, the fact that Tramadol is a banned substance and Toradol is not, that should be what the shocking part of this is. Because Toradol is just like, numb it up. And yes, the Vancouver Ford text line, you can get it injected, but there is an oral Toradol as well.
Yeah, no. Remember, we went back and forth on this over Gary Payton.
What?
Gary Payton second.
Yep. The oral Toradol injection.
Versus getting shots in his groin for Toradol and the Golden State Warriors ownership and brass lying about it and then selling it to The Athletic and them lying about it and putting it in print.
So
that was super fun.
53 games is what the Bucks have played.
So that's 20.
He'll be there for 31. The four games of the regular season. He'll be there for the last four. They're currently the fifth seed and a game behind Indiana
and they're
for the
thin.
Four seed. They are. That's going to be his absence is going to be massive down the stretch for Milwaukee.
I mean, if Brooke Lopez needs a night off, like what do you do?
Go sign Robin.
Pray. I don't even think they have the money. I don't even think they can, like I
got. You get Jericho Sims?
Oh, that's right. They did go get him.
You can put Giannis or Kuzma at the five?
Good gravy. No freaking thank you. All right, coming up next, in hour number three, Dusty is head to toe in all kinds of America.
Tell ya.
Let's dive into some Four Nations hockey, huh?
Okay.
Let's get a little weird.
I know so much hockey.
This is what I want to do. I want to get your unabashed, unbridled hockey takes as USA Canada.
And more
about just the touch points of why this is so important. We'll get to that and more here on hour number 3 here in Danny and Dusty.